Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nemco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the June 25th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will once again take on some of the hot topics in the world of motorsports, with a review of some of the racing from last weekend and a preview of things to come. Our first guest this evening is Kat Hokala. Hakala? I'll figure out how to pronounce that in a moment. Currently competition and marketing director for an SCCA Spec Miata team, Sarah from Racing. The team is in the middle of a sponsor search to run either the Trans Am or the World Challenge races next year under the SCCA Pro umbrella. They were in contention last year for the STU Class National title, running a World Challenge MX-5 shared with Jason Saini until a rod blew through the side of the engine midsummer and ended the season. Kat started off pursuing a racing career as a driver, to no avail, as few sponsors were interested in a female driver at that time. She shifted to engineering, hoping to become a crew chief, but finances being what they were, ended up leaving racing to work in the aerospace industry. She worked for the Richard Pay Driving Experience in Orlando, the Super Touring Car Championship in Tampa, briefly in marketing in PR. But her career since 2001 has been in aerospace. Kat and a partner were in the process of building a race shop in Santa Clara, California, to build road racing cars. They actually had an Acura TL touring car and an Integra GTR that they were about to gut and turn into a touring car. But when both were laid off from their day jobs, that dream sadly ended. In 2011, she met John Harms, a Spec Miata beginner who did not have a team, and they paired up to build one. 4 years and two cars later, they have a contender, scrapping out in the SCCA Majors Tour in California and the Midwest. Her role is crew chief on race weekends and running the marketing and other logistical duties. In 2013, she was hired as director of competition for the Intercontinental Trophy Cup, a Porsche Cayman Semi-Pro Series racing road courses across the eastern half of the country, including Mid-Ohio, Road Atlanta, NOLA, the New Jersey Motorsports Park, the Virginia International Raceway, and other parks. The season culminated with running as another card series to the final American Le Mans Series race at VIR. Responsibilities included writing and regulating the rulebook, driver penalties, race director, and settling disputes between drivers and teams. It was great fun, and she hopes to have the chance to do it again soon. We'd now like to welcome her to the program.
Hi,
well,
how are you doing,
Steve?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I know we had an interesting scheduling thing with Luke Rakowski of the Rakowski Family Motorsports tweeting that you were going to be on the show before you or I actually realized you would be on the program this evening. So, but it actually worked out because my other guests had to reschedule, so it's sort of a happy coincidence in that way.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
In the past, this program has had the honor of speaking with the PR director for the SCCA. What's your experience with this series? And what role do you think the SCCA has in maintaining motorsports in the United States?
Well, SCCA is definitely in the role of being sort of the grandfather of club racing. They've had such a grand history in both pro and club racing that everything else that comes up through the line always measures itself against SCCA. So from that standpoint, I think SCCA continues to play a very vital role. Even though they've spun off the pro racing series to some extent, especially World Challenge having a new owner. But when you really look at the dynamism of club racing these days and you strip aside some of the negatives that you hear, I think SCCA has a lot on its plate right now. I've had two very different experiences with SCCA in my career. One is when I was driving in the 90s. I was in the Central Florida region. So Sebring was my home track back then, along with some of the others in the area. And then over the last few years, I've been in the Midwest, the Southern Cal, and the Arizona region. Now, the positives would be, you know, it's still a very friendly atmosphere to work in. They're very great, male or female, doesn't matter if you're a driver, a worker, a crew member. There's still a very, very welcoming atmosphere. But the reality is, SCCA is facing a challenge in the need to modernize, the need to look at how they're conducting business, and to look at the realities of not only their aging population, but why they have an aging population. And I have a couple of thoughts on that briefly. One of the things that I've been talking to some other teams about and getting some feedback on is when you look at the major series, which we run in, which for those who may not realize is regional racing, you actually can travel, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 miles for some of these races. When you look at these as being on weekends, once or twice a month, different times during the summer, you have the East Coast folks, which have tracks very, very close to one another. So a lot of folks can break away, get out for one or even two or three days on the weekend and go to racing. You get the West Coast, where the distances are a bit more spread out, but there's a lot of tracks in, say, California, for example. So you can still get out, go to a lot of different races. Then you have the entire country in between. And much like NASCAR or Sprint Car or any of the other series out there, there's a lot of distance in those flyover states, and that's where we compete. So if you're trying to bring young folks in and really reinvigorate the series, SCCA's got to look at the fact that when you have one region that covers from Montana to Texas, it's asking a lot of somebody in their 20s to support a race car team budget, support a logistical travel budget where they have to take time off work, pay to bring the car, have a truck, have a trailer, have somewhere to stay, whether it's a camper at the track, a tent at the track, a hotel, whatever, and then accommodate whatever happens during the race. You know, what if you're in a bump and bang series? What if you're in a wings and things series where you might have some aero damage on your car? It's a lot to ask of young people who are in this economy having enough on their plate. So you're starting to see the majors races being taken over by the older folks, the retired folks, the folks that are senior in their careers and can take the time off work and have the money to go do that sort of thing. So they've almost set themselves up to be in a position where they want to have something that they're conducting an operation that makes it even more difficult to get there. So to your question where you're asking about it being a leadership role, I think it would really say a lot if SCCA could step up a bit and say things are thriving on the East Coast. We have 40 and 50 spec Miatas in a series. Why is it in the Midwest we struggle to get six? Why do we have trouble getting 100 entrants to be able to have a race weekend? Why do we not have enough volunteers that we can't maintain the full track configuration for the weekend? It's not a condemnation of SCCA. It's a very tough job. But to be that leader, I think you need to step up and say, hey, should we be offering deals where maybe we have guides that have trailers that can hold five cars, and maybe we help them bring cars from other people out there so we can get the younger people who might be able to bring their car out to a track that they normally couldn't go to because now they don't have to drive it out there. Maybe there's a way that they can change the race weekends instead of having a race and a qual every single day. Maybe different classes come all in one day, and you can get done and you can leave. So at least some folks can leave by Saturday night instead of having to stay through Sunday, and they could still get two races in. You know, just throwing ideas out. There's just a lot of different options that we've been talking about amongst ourselves, and to be able to step up and do that, I think we'll put SCCA a notch above some of the other series out there that are focusing on the shorter races, more of a fun atmosphere. That's great. I used to work with NASA unofficially in my ITC role, but it's a very different dynamic than SCCA, and they are very different series, and they shouldn't try to beat each other. There's no fun there. They should be different. But I think that's just a couple of ideas off the top of my head. I have many other ideas. I've been running past people's specifications as well.
Well, that answer kind of leads into the second question. How do you feel about the fact that attendance at some of the larger racing events, both in SCCA and in the National Series, seem to be on the decline, and how would you get more fans to go to the track?
Things are obviously a lot different today as far as competition. for racing. Even for those of us that love racing, I'm ashamed to admit how many things I end up watching on the DVR myself, not for lack of interest, but for lack of time. When I was growing up, I enjoyed just listening to stock car races on the radio. I remember Eli Gold talking about, you know, Richard Petty, Rusty Wallace, Cale Yarborough, all of those guys. It was very exciting to tune in and listen to the AM radio while you're outside at the pool or inside doing homework or whatever else I was doing, but there weren't a thousand other options at the time. I think social media has been a saving grace for racing as a whole, but I don't think all of the leadership in racing has been able to figure out how to embrace that yet and how to turn it around in their favor. I think the drivers and the teams are leading the way in that area. And I think what we really need to do if we want to get butts in seats, which is what pays the bills to keep these tracks open, is we've got to find a way to engage people outside of our normal mediums. And even that even includes social media. I've had ideas that were things such as going down to malls and holding, I mean, one of the things that's very popular nowadays are driving games on Xbox and PlayStation. You know, pick whether it's a series or just a Gran Turismo or whatever. Wouldn't it be cool for some of the kids if some of their favorite drivers would host a 15-minute coaching session with them? The drivers don't have to be able to play the games, but they could explain the dynamics and why the kids are sliding the cars off the track because they're experiencing, you know, their tires are too hot or their camber is wrong or something like that. You'd have a chance to reach an audience that never really thought about racing that way, and now they can connect with their seeing and feeling in their video games to what these guys are doing out on the track and why they're good at what they're doing. You kind of got to start going out of the box because all sporting events are expensive. I'm not going to buy the excuse anymore that, you know, it's $50 to go to a NASCAR race. Well, it's $50 to go to a baseball game or a basketball game nowadays, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure the NASCAR home tracks is always the best idea. I know from having gone to a few myself, you know, it's clean family fun. It's definitely not what it used to be in the 70s at the short tracks. But there's a lot of parents out there that really don't understand that taking a kid to a dirt track or a short asphalt track on a Friday night is actually a great way to bond as a family. And there's how do we get that message across to folks that you don't have to drive 2,000 miles to see a race at Fontana or at Sonoma. You can go to Tucson Speedway down the road from me and see a great race. In fact, there's some up-and-coming drivers out there. You know, Cassie Gannis runs a stock car down here, and she's fantastic to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But get folks out there, and that's the challenge. And I feel for those guys because you can't always sell the big-ticket stuff until you can find a way to get them hooked locally.
Yeah, I've actually had Cassie Gannis on the program here before. She was pretty impressive to talk to, and hopefully her career takes off from where it is now, and that will be awesome for more people in the country to be able to experience the sort of racing that she takes part in every week.
I agree.
Who's your inspiration in racing?
I've got a couple. When I was driving, I really idolized Mika Häkkinen. I don't think he got enough attention because of Schumacher. You can't dispute it was one of the greatest drivers of all time, but Häkkinen's skills were amazing, especially being a Finnish ancestry myself. You know, any driver in any series that is well-rounded and has very strong car control skills is someone I admire. Ross Bentley, in a class that I took with him once, he's a good friend of mine. Anyone who can dance with a car or become one with the car is how he looks at it, is someone that I would admire because it's so rare. And there's drivers in any series out there at any level that you can point to who have that ability. So that's one of it. And then on the leadership side, I would say probably Roger Penske. is one that comes to mind. He's done so much, and he's in some ways redefined what it means to be a team owner and a team leader.
You've mentioned a few different racetracks. What's your favorite racetrack?
Probably Laguna Seca, with a follow-up of a little track called MSR Crescent down in Texas.
How do you feel about the fact that the Laguna Seca is considering transferring their day-to-day management to the International Speedway Corporation? Do you think that'll change the nature of the track?
I don't know. I would hope not. I would like to think that ISC would bring some positives to it. I think the one thing in the track's favor, no matter who owns it, is that is a very regulated area. You can't start tearing down trees or turning it into something else because the neighbors in the county would have a fit. So the other side of it is I think ISC respects the fact that this is a well-loved track. I think what they are looking to do is to create a fan experience the way that they've done at their other tracks, and that, I think, is a good thing.
Cool. And what is your ultimate racing goal?
Hopefully to own my own professional team at some point, and that might be my World Challenge efforts next year, assuming we get that. But right now, I would say a role in program management for a professional race team. I'm actually actively seeking a role in that area now. I think with all my experience and background outside of racing combined with time in racing, I think that would be a lot of fun to be able to apply all those years of experience in aerospace and really help teams benefit behind the scenes. I think I like the race director roles I've done too, but really I think running the team is really more of where my heart is at this point. I'd love to go back to driving, but I'm realistic.
Mm-hmm. I know you have the aerospace experience. Do you follow any of the IHRA racing? They've got the current partnership between the Florida Institute of Technology and one of their jet dragster teams now. I know they've in the past have had the Embry Riddle Aeronautical University has been partnered with some of their teams as well.
Right. It's a good thing. It's really positive to see the university stepping up. My own alma mater of Embry Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida helped NASCAR out, I believe, with some of the roof flaps. So there's a long history of partnerships between universities and race teams.
And now I'd like to throw you out to Ifrida Washington and my co-host Michael Mullally, who has a couple questions for you as well.
So, what is your favorite form of racing?
Ooh, that's tough. They've all got so many positives. I think at this point I would have to say sports car racing is going to edge out everything else.
Would you or have you ever done any dirt track racing?
I have driven on dirt tracks. I have not really had the chance to race on them, done testing. Actually, back in the day, I ended up in a test drive on a Hooters Cup car, and that's really dating myself. But that was one experience I had on a dirt track out near Lakeland, Florida. It's a lot of fun. I would love to get the chance to race on a dirt track sometime, but I think I'd have to spend some time in the car first.
Who are some of your favorite drivers?
In NASCAR, I've been a Jimmy Johnson fan for a while. Before that, it was Rusty Wallace. In Formula One, Kimmy, of course, although there's a lot of ups and downs with that one. Sebastian Loeb, who's a lot of fun to watch out there. And then in sports car racing, I'm a big fan of Ryan Dell and Ryan Eversley.
If you could own your own racetrack, would you?
I might. I have a very good friend who used to be a competition director in, he was with IMSA and also with IndyCar. He used to work with Hurley Haywood, and he does a lot of track management. And I've learned a lot of operations from him. So there are aspects of it that, yeah, I actually could see myself doing that, except for I would have to probably do it near a major metropolitan area. I'm not sure I'd want to own something like Hallett out in the middle of Oklahoma. I think that is getting harder and harder to manage the finances and the ongoing sustainability of a track like that.
What is your favorite racing memory?
Oh, this one will make you laugh. When I was 3 years old, I'm not kidding, 3 years old, I was living in Germany. My parents were military. And my dad took me out to see some testing that was going on at the old Nürburgring. And he is not a race fan. And he thought it'd be cute to bring along my little putt-putt go-kart that I had. Nothing like the go-karts today. It was a little lawnmower engine sort of thing. And he thought it'd be fun so I could watch the big guys on the track and I could drive around in the parking lot. And when he wasn't looking, I drove out on the track. Ladies have to stop their test day while this three-year-old is running around on her little go-kart on the track, and they had to come and get me and get me off the track again so I wouldn't get hurt. So that actually has turned out to be, out of everything I've done, that is still my favorite racing memory, because now at my age I can really appreciate how truly strange that probably was for those folks.
And what is your, are you planning on competing in any more racing this season? And what's your next race?
Our next race is over the 4th of July weekend at High Plains Raceway in Colorado, Specmi Auto, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running with the auto sports team that Skier used to run with.
And then you're planning on coming down for the Nationals in Daytona at the end of the year?
We would like to. We don't have sponsorship for that cross-country trip yet, so we're kind of looking for that right now. It can be a B2B or an on-the-car. We don't care. We would love to, but my driver, it would require 2 weeks off of work for him, so that's mm-hmm. pretty much half a year's vacation. He's willing to do it, but we can't. We can't do it without having enough money to cover the trip in the race team budget. So we're working on it. If not, we'll do the West Coast Championship out at Fontana.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for coming on the program this evening, and I wish you lots of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Once again, that was Kat Hakala. We're very pleased to have her come on the program this evening. It was kind of an interesting happenstance that she ended up being scheduled, but it, as I stated before, it worked out rather well because our previous guest was unable to be on this evening, but he will be on later in the year. So how was your racing up in Washington this past weekend?
It wasn't bad. A lot of the classes, I feel like, you know, they don't really, I don't know, kind of one of those things where they don't want to tear up their cars, so they don't really, like, push it, which kind of makes for boring racing sometimes. But it wasn't too bad.
And when's your next race? I know you weren't sure the last time.
Well, it would have been this weekend, but she's canceling the race is this weekend because of the weather, because it's supposed to be 104, which mm-hmm. I'm completely against. I mean, you can prepare for this stuff, like start the race, you know, later, because it's supposed to be 104, but by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I mean, the weather is usually down to about 90, 80 sometimes. So, you know, I feel like canceling it was a little extreme, but that's okay. So It would have been this weekend, but now it's not till the second or third week in July, which is so far away, because I was actually really looking forward to it this weekend. I wasn't going to drive, but my brother was, and my dad just finished the motor that we were building, and we've had it in the car and running. He even took it around the house. I know that sounds silly, but he took it around the house, and it's running great, and we were all really excited to get it tested out this weekend, but thank you, Freighter Raceway, for smashing our hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it seems like you're actually a little bit warmer out there than we are here. It's been in the upper 90s here as well, but unlike there where it seems like it might be cooling off, here it's still in the low to mid 90s by 9 o'clock at night, so a little toasty.
Yeah, we're supposed to be, let's see, today's only supposed to be like 90-something. Tomorrow is when we're supposed to start the triple digits. So tomorrow, I believe, was supposed to be like 102. Saturday is supposed to be like 104. And then Sunday, it's supposed to be 109. And you know what? I like it. I love this weather.
You're the insane person from the middle of Washington State there who enjoys the insanely warm weather. That's what it is.
Yes. I love I feel like we freeze, you know, forever during the winter, and then summer comes along, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, make it an oven out here.
Our next guest this evening is Nur Ali. Like Garrett Jones, who was going to be our first guest on this evening, Ali has been a race fan for virtually his entire life. His love of the sport began in Germany when he was only 4 years of age, similar to the woman who was in Germany at 3 years of age running around the Nürburgring in her go-kart. A couple of years later, he and his family moved to Texas, where his love of American racing and his passion for NASCAR started to peak.
Ali is the first Pakistani American race car driver and is also a two-time Southwest Formula Mazda Series champion. His open wheel experience also includes a stint in the A1 Grand Prix Series for Team Pakistan. He also competed in the Skip Barber Formula Dodge Southern Race Series, where he became the first racing driver from Pakistan.
His stock car experience includes racing in the NASCAR Nationwide Series, as well as a couple years in ARCA. Now, you can find him competing in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Circuit in the GRC Lite Series. We are now happy to welcome Nur Ali back to the program.
Adam, Michael, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show again once again. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. After competing in a few races in the Red Bull Global Rallycross, what have you learned that you feel has made you a better driver?
Well, I'm going to have to actually talk about this last race, Daytona. About 30% of it was actually dirt, full dirt, compared to the first race in Fort Lauderdale. And I got a lot of experience. It was a three-day weekend. It was a doubleheader, rounds two and three. And I picked up, a lot of good experience, and seat time, driving on the dirt. I had a lot of good coaching from Dave Carpathian, who is the owner and operator of Rally Ready Driving School out in Texas, in Austin, Texas. So he was on hand. He's my coach for the year as well as my spotter. So we spent a lot of time on the radio while I was in the car, and then off the radio, you know, back in our garage talking and spending time just learning and talking to him and getting the feedback. So my main thing was, I think, this past week in picking up a lot of good experience on driving dirt, because I came in basically as a novice. You know, even in Fort Lauderdale, you know, we had a small dirt section, but that was literally a small dirt section that was just a straightaway after the jump. So I wouldn't even consider that, you know, a major part of the program for Fort Lauderdale, but Daytona was. So Daytona, you know, I could say that having the dirt experience this past weekend was very helpful and gainful for me.
You just mentioned it a little bit, but how has your training with the Rally Ready Driving School been helpful in your transition to the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series?
It's going really well. Dave and his staff down there in Texas have a phenomenal program. They just bought a brand new, just recently, a 140-acre property just down the road from Coda in Austin. So they have a beautiful facility that they're working on and getting ready for the rest of the year. And, I've had some time and some opportunities to be down there with Dave and his staff in learning how to drive a car on dirt, a rally car on dirt specifically. And the knowledge and the experience that they have combined, it's phenomenal. So I'm actually, blessed that, we've partnered up with them and we're able to get some track time, some seat time, and some knowledge from these guys. And, I'm hoping to possibly be back in next week before I head out to our fourth race of the GRC season.
I know you actually had a little bit of – you're one of the few drivers who had a little bit of experience there in Daytona on the in the ARCA car. Do you think that helped at all, even though the track's totally different that you were racing on?
Two different tracks, yes, two different tracks, two different being at Daytona, but, being on the 2.5 mile oval versus, the 0.9 mile, road course dirt track, the difference was, of course, the road course versus the oval, but just walking in or driving into Daytona International Speedway on Thursday, it brought back a lot of good memories. I was telling my PR manager that, it was good to be back at Daytona. It's been a few years. I think the last time we drove out there, from what I recall, I think it was 2009 or 10, and it's 2015 now, so it's been a few years. But they were two totally different tracks. You got the oval that's I think 31 degrees banked, if I'm not wrong on that, versus flat track with just a small elevation during the dirt part of it. Two different tracks, but my road course experience all started coming back together because most of my experience has been open wheel stuff and racing road cars or road racing in that sense. So, the experience from that, helped me, brought me back up to speed on my driving part when it came to the asphalt. But the dirt part was all new in many sense.
I know you actually were able to win the last chance qualifier there in Fort Lauderdale. How was that in the fact that you actually won a race during your first race weekend in the Global Rallycross Series, and do you think you'll actually be able to take the overall win before the end of the season?
Well, that the LCQ win in Fort Lauderdale was a confidence booster in some sense, because I'm totally new in the GRC Lights car. Did not have had any that many opportunities to do the test, except for one test literally in the GRC Lights car maybe 3 weeks before the start of the season, and that was at Willow Springs in California, and it's all asphalt, so no dirt experience on that. So we got literally just a handful of hours back in May, and then having the opportunity to win that LCQ race not only was fun, but to win it for my sponsors, Valvoline and Tweaka Energy Shot, it was a good boost that we went in the first weekend learning the car, learning the track, so much going on, and then even though we were in the LCQ race, but then bringing it home for our two co-sponsors, that was a good boost, I think, for us and for our program in its entirety. So yeah, that was a fun race.
Well, now I'd like to throw it out to my co-host Michael Mullally in Washington, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
How different is it driving a rallycross car than it is driving a Nationwide Series car, an ARCA car, or a lights car?
All right. So a stock car, basically an ARCA car, NASCAR Nationwide car, different types of setups. Heavier car, of course. The stock cars are much heavier than, more heavier than a GRC lights car. The lights car is also it's basically horsepower wise. We're at I think 310 horsepower, and you've got the Nationwide cars, in excess of 700 or 800 horsepower, and then The ARCA car is running around 600-700 horsepower, so, you know, it's twice as strong or twice as powerful than the lights car, but two different types of cars. You know, you've got the oval cars, you know, for basically that's run in the ARCA series and Nationwide series, but then, you know, you've got the GRC lights car. It's not run on ovals. It's run strictly on road courses with a combination of dirt and asphalt. So the main difference is, you know, between the horsepower, the setup of the cars, and then the types of racetracks that they run.
So of those three that you just described to us, which one would you say is a little more difficult to drive?
Well, they are, in essence, all fun to drive, but then, you know, they have their own scale of difficulty in their own respective series. I mean, when I went into my first ARCA race back in 2008, you know, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, there was a learning curve with that. Then, you know, having the experience to do one Nationwide race, you know, that had its own scale of difficulties at that point, and then now I'm in the lights division, and it has its own ups and downs. But you know, it doesn't matter what you're running in; you're going to run into some type of a difficulty in any driving series or racing car series. But you know, speaking in regards to the light series, the good thing is that I've got road course experience, so that's helping me a lot. The difference is that majority of my experience has been in open wheel cars, and this is a car with two doors, a front windshield. You know, so that's a little different for me when it comes to driving a road course car. But you know, I'm lucky enough to have experience in road racing, so I'm okay on that. And then, you know, I've got a great partnership with Rally Ready Driving School in Austin that's giving me experience off the track on dirt. So, you know, our program is moving in the right direction. It's moving fast. The races are, you know, every couple of weeks or so. And you know, my times on the track and the experiences I get in are, like, you know, Adam just mentioned, we were able to pick up a win for the Valvoline car at Fort Lauderdale during the LCQ race, and we had a third place finish in the LCQ race, you know, last week here in Daytona, and then a sixth and a ninth in, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. Had an issue on Sunday with my steering. You know, we had a really good run at one point. I think I was running in fourth or fifth, but then you know, got into it with a couple of cars in the dirt section, and that totally messed up one of my I'm assuming, you know, we're you know, the alignment or something, where the car steering wheel was basically off by about, you know, 100 you know, 100 120 degrees, where it straight wasn't straight anymore. But, you know, it was a fun race, and it's you know, it's two different styles of racing. So
of the three, which car has been your favorite that you have raced?
Which car has been my favorite that I've raced? I've been racing for 17 years. They all have been fun. They all have been my favorite when I raced them. But to date, I can tell you the most fun I've had thus far is in the GRC Lights series, GRC itself. It's a great program. It's a great series. The cars are fun to drive. The races are action-packed. They're short in the sense that the fans don't get bored. You know, like, for example, Daytona, it was extremely hot. You know, and if the race was 3 or 4 hours long, you know, it becomes difficult not only on the drivers, but it becomes difficult on the fans as well, just to sit there and watch. So the races are short, they're extreme. You know, for me, you know, I've considered it as a 10-lap fist fight or a boxing match. So I actually could say that out of all the cars that I've driven, I'm enjoying, and I think, in my opinion, thus far, the lights program or the GRC series itself has been the fun one that I've enjoyed.
And after your first few races in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Light Series, do you feel now that you're closer to your ultimate racing goal?
Yes, we're chipping away, race by race, day by day. You know, I came in with no experience per se, basically a month ago when we did our first race in Fort Lauderdale. Picked up a lot of good seat time at Fort Lauderdale and Daytona. You know, had one win, like you said, in the LCQ, and some good finishes over the weekend and in Daytona when it came to the heat races and stuff like that. So I think we're going in the right direction. You know, we've got a great program together with Rally Ready Driving School, our sponsors Valvoline and Tweaker Energy Shot. You know, they've been great partners and sponsors in providing us the support that we needed, and I think we're going in the right direction in that sense. So I think as the year goes along, as the races go by, I think we'll have better finishes, and I think it's going to be a great successful year because thus far, in my opinion, it's been positive. So everything in our agenda is to keep moving up and try to keep getting more wins, whether it's in LCQ races, heat races, and the ultimate goal, the races themselves, and try to pick up, you know, a few wins. The goal is, of course, a championship, but, you know, we're being realistic. We're going after a good, solid finish this year in the point standings and then as well as in the rookie title fight as well. So, but it's been fun. It's been a great year, so we're blessed in having a good season thus far and good partners on board.
And I know you went to the X Games there in Austin. How do you enjoy the racing out there?
Yes, I went in as a competitor, but as a spectator, hoping to be a competitor, hopefully in a year or so. I had a blast. This was my first trip to the X Games. It happened to be in my home state of Texas, in Austin. I had a blast. The main reason I went was to watch the GRC cars compete at COTA, and it was a blast. I mean, not only the GRC race, but the whole atmosphere in itself. And you know, I was out there watching the race, and then also promoting the Rally Ready Driving School. They had set up a booth down there, so we were able to pick up a lot of good interest for the school itself. You know, literally, like I said, it's 15 minutes down the road from COTA. But X Games was a lot of fun. I'm hoping that you know, I'm racing there in about a year or so.
There you go. Well, I wish you lots of luck for the rest of the season. Good luck at the next race at the military facility there, and hope you have a great 4th of July as well.
Thank you very much, Adam. I appreciate it. Thank you, Michael. Yes, we are racing next weekend, the 4th of July, at New River, Jacksonville, Florida, at the Marine Base out there. It'll be part of the 4th of July festivities. And anybody that's in the neighborhood is welcome to come. The tickets are free, and they are open. The gates are open to the public for free on Sunday, July the 5th. So anybody that's in the area is welcome to come to the races. And if you are coming, stop on by. You know, I'll be signing autographs, meeting people, doing some photos. So you're welcome to stop by anytime to talk to me. I'm easy to get a hold of, easy to talk to, you know, and we'll go from there. And Adam and Michael, thank you for having me on again this evening.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully we can talk to you again a little bit later in the season.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Once again, that was Nur Ali, the Red Bull Global Rallycross GRC Lights competitor, who, as he stated, has had some success in the series. Only after three races, he's had the one win there in the last chance qualifier. And even though it was a last chance qualifier, a win is a win, and that's pretty awesome for it basically being his first race of the in this particular series. Should be pretty cool. As we said, next week is the July 4th holiday. It's going to be a pretty busy weekend in racing. Myself, I get to go out to the Daytona International Speedway for the Coke Zero 400 for the weekend there. We're going to spend some time on Saturday covering the race there for Speedway Digest, as well as covering the race on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a pretty awesome thing. And I'm going to have a little bit of I'm going to try and pick up at least one or two drivers to come on this program in the future. So wish me luck, knock on wood, and all that. Next week will be our 1 year anniversary of the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, which is kind of awesome. I started out 1 year ago with absolutely no idea of what I was doing, And now I think I have at least some idea of what I'm doing week to week. And I'm going to work on a little bit of a montage of some of my favorite interviews we've had on the program. And also do a little bit of a preview of the racing action there in Daytona next week. So be sure to tune in next Thursday night, July 2nd, for the one-year anniversary episode of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Do you have any big plans for the 4th of July weekend?
We're just going to blow stuff up. Yeah. I was supposed to go race the sprint car at a dirt track over like 130 miles away from me, but those plans kind of went down in flames because the guy whose sprint car I'm supposed to be driving had to have surgery on his arm. So now it looks like I won't be driving that until towards the end of the season, which is fine, I guess. You know, an arm is kind of a big deal, but...
That's what you get for beating up on your car owner. That's what happens.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, this week I'm going to be hosting a little bit of a contest on the Facebook page for a autographed picture of Miss Nitro Jam, who was kind enough to send me a couple autographed pictures to give out to the fans of the program. So be sure to comment on the Facebook page. I'll be putting up a link or a little article about the contest this evening, so comment on that. And we'll choose a winner sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome when we will be discussing the major issues in the auto racing world.
Have a nice weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.